Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd like to welcome you to our Saturday Sunday School. I am Jonathan Tate, the associate pastor at Running for Christ Ministries. One of the associate pastors at Running for Christ Ministries. And we're going to pick back up in Ephesians chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 3. If I'm off, we'll just figure it out and start from verse 3 and keep it moving. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this awesome day, this brand new day that you've blessed us with. Help us to take full advantage of it by worshiping and praising and going into your word. Lord, move me out of the way and help us to break your word down and to live it and share it throughout the world as children of the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." So, really self-explanatory as we look at verse 3. There shouldn't be sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. One thing that one of many things we have to remember is that once you're saved, the very presence of person of the Godhead resides inside of you. So our bodies are literally temples of the living God. So because we're God's holy people, we've been separated from the world. We've literally been set aside, sanctified. That's what that means. Set aside for God's purpose. So if we're God's holy people, there are things that are proper for us and there are things that are improper for us. So right here, it talks about sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. Now, we know as far as sexual immorality, that's basically sex outside of God's will, which is usually marriage. And other things like pornography and, you know, sex speech about, you know, anything that's dealing with sex in a moral way. So things basically, again, that are outside of God's will. God basically has sex used in marriage. If it's outside of that, it's immoral, period. And like those other examples I gave, like, you know, sexual speech, you know, or pornography, things of that nature, that's considered sexual immorality. Any kind of impurity, you know, we have people in the world, some of us, if we're being honest, you know, that struggle with chemicals, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol or, you know, certain types of music, certain things that we do that are considered impure. I'm not going to list each and every impurity on the earth, but if you want to know what's pure for you and what's good for you, it's all in God's word. We don't have the time to explore each and every impurity of the world. And it also mentions, or of greed. You know, the Bible will teach you everything that you need to know about the Lord to help you get through this life. That's one thing I like about the acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, which is Bible. So these are things that are improper for us. You know, one thing about greed is greedy people are never satisfied. Our lust or our intense yearning needs to be wrapped up in the Lord. He will satisfy your every need, your wants, your desires, once you submit them to him and you do things his way. And he will show you the proper way about going about this life as his son or his daughter. Amen? Amen. Let's look at verse 4. It says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that this has been a struggle for me. So you pray for me, don't judge me, as I pray for you, with obscenity, foolish talk, of course, joking. You know, I work in the Department of Corrections, and, you know, sometimes profanity is the language of the day, and I can't blame that, you know, but that's honestly for me. Working in the Department of Corrections, that's when my profanity picked up. Growing up, I really didn't cuss a lot, even in my even into my 20s. And I still technically don't cuss a lot, but I have my moments. But pray for me. And foolish talk, of course, joking. I've always been a jokester. And I understand there's joking and then there's coarse joking. There's foolish talk. I understand the difference between all of them. But it says they're out of place, but rather we should be engaging in Thanksgiving and not just the celebration of the so-called holiday, but constantly giving thanks for what the Lord has done for us and who he is for us and to us, so that we could set an example for the rest of the world. A lot of the times the church has been so hypocritical in the world that people don't know the difference between the church and the world. Right here, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus to encourage them and to provide some advice and some instruction in addition to the encouragement. So we have the example. We have to be the children of the light, you know, and not children of the world. We're God's children. We belong to him. So we have to reflect his presence in our lives. And we do that in the world as well because we're here right now. So let's keep that in mind as we encourage one another and pray for one another. And verse 5 says, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, the beauty for us, because we belong to the Lord, our inheritance is already secure in him. So, but we want to be obedient children to his word. We want to show people. We don't want to be a stumbling block for others in the world. You want to, what you do on earth is reflected in heaven, because that adds to your inheritance. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to glory once you leave this planet. Yes, that's locked in. But what you do for the Lord counts. That's what adds to your inheritance. So, like, for example, you know, when I leave here, my sons are still here. They reap the benefits of, you know, my life insurance, you know, my possession, you know, and things of that nature. But I had to build certain things and prepare certain things for my sons to receive an inheritance. So it's the same way with us. For our eternal inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ, that what we do down here is what we receive up there. And that's based upon what we do for the Lord. You know, Pastor O always says that, you know, what you do for the Lord is what counts. That's what passes through the fire when you receive your inheritance after you stand before, you know, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what passes through the fire is what we do for the Lord on earth, which builds our inheritance. But if you're so focused on being immoral or greedy or impure, you're not going to be focused on building your inheritance in the Lord. So hopefully that makes sense to you guys, because, yes, we do inherit the kingdom of God. We do once we get saved. But, you know, you want to build up your inheritance in glory, but it's what you do now that helps build that inheritance. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Listen, you can test people based upon what the word says. If what people say doesn't line up with the word, then it's just empty words. It's just deception. And God doesn't like that. He doesn't like folks misleading others. Because remember, God despises sin. He hates it. It grieves him. So when you're deceiving folks, you're basically lying to them. And when you just talking to just be talking, those are empty words. They don't mean anything. You waste the oxygen. You're wasting God's resources that he blessed you with. So it warns here that because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient in that regard and misleading people and deceiving people. Again, those are things that are not proper for God's holy people. So, you know, I always tell my sons, be careful of the company you keep. And it says, therefore, verse 7, do not be partners with them. You have to watch and listen to people before you partner up with them, before you run with them. And that's very important, not just to youth, but to those of us who are, you know, elder in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, we still have to watch the company we keep. And we don't need to be deceiving folks. Just if you want to know what to say to people, ask the Lord. He will instruct you on what to say and what to do and who to be around and who to partner up with and who to stay away from. Amen. Amen. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So remember, before we got saved, we belonged to the devil. We were headed to hell. We were living in darkness. But once you got saved, you know, light dispels darkness. I don't know about you, but when I walk into a dark room, if I hit the switch on the wall or I push the button on the lamp, darkness flees and light takes over, no matter what. Light is going to always conquer darkness, period. So we're on the winning team, and we should accept that. We should embrace the fact that we can live as children of the light, because we are children of the light, just being who you are. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. When you're living your life based upon those things in a practical way, it benefits you and everyone around you. You know, I remember a time in my life where it just seemed like everything was going wrong. And I just kept smiling because I knew ultimately the Lord is in charge and everything's going to be all right. And I remember somebody at, we were at the hall at Running for Christ, and they said, no matter what you're going through, you always smile. And I just was like, hey, it is what it is, and the Lord has me, you know. So, and that's, maybe my smile was reflecting the light that was in me. Maybe your smile or your attitude or your actions reflect the light that is in you that will inspire those around you. It's not just about us. It's about others. We need to draw as many people as we can into this family, which is God's family. Amen. Verse 10 says, and find out what pleases the Lord. That is major for us. It's all wrapped up in his word. That's how you find out what pleases the Lord. Real simple. 11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. I had the opportunity this morning, because I always get up with the chickens sometimes before, to watch a video by Brother Alan Parr on YouTube. And it talks about, he's actually a former student of Dr. Tony Evans and has a wonderful videos on YouTube. And he actually got an article that he read and he presented on about the seven false teachers and the beware of false teachers. And it is, that was an example of him exposing, you know, darkness with light, because he pointed out several scriptures, you know, to point out that describe those false teachers that we should beware of. And that's our job as God's children, is to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Amen. Amen. Verse 12 says, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So we don't have to sit around and gossip and talk about what folks are doing, you know, in terms of their dirt or their fruitless deeds of darkness. But we're supposed to expose that. We're supposed to redirect and say, hey, that's not the way to go. We need to become more like Christ. Come, he didn't come to get along. He came to disrupt. He came to expose light, to dispel darkness. There were Pharisees and Sadducees and all kinds of folks in power who wanted to kill him before his ministry got going. But he didn't come just to talk about it. He came to show light on it and say, hey, this is wrong, but this is the way to go. And that's the hookup. He's not just going to say, hey, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. He'll also correct you and guide you in the way that you should go. And that's what we should be doing. The Lord said we would do those things and greater. So let's be about the Lord's business while we have breath in our lungs and our hearts are beating and we can move and groove. Amen? Amen. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We have to allow the Lord to do his business through us. That's why God is set up shop in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead inside of us. That's why our bodies are temples of the one living true God, the Almighty God, so that we could he could do his work through us, and we reap the benefits. He deserves all the praise and the glory for it. But we have work to do. So let Christ shine on you and through you so that you can constantly dispel darkness in this world. And not just that, but to show people and to guide people through the word and through the Lord's instruction on what to do and what not to do. All right? King says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. One thing that I've been trying to do is listen more to the Lord and execute. You know, faith without works is dead. You have to take certain steps. And, you know, the Lord has really, really blessed me and those around me, you know, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to his knowledge and wisdom on me so that, you know, I can take that and run with it and teach others and advise others. You know, I can't put it any plainer than that. You know, it is our job, it is our duty out of love to be wise and to walk in it and to have knowledge and understanding that we get from the Lord. It's going to always come back to being in his word and getting that word and living that word and spreading that word. This is a living word. We're living creatures of the Most High God, one living true God. We're his children. So let's display that in this world. So next week, if I remember my place, we'll pick back up at verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your daily instruction and for feeding us this word. But help us to be serious about spreading this word, living this word, and sharing this word more so than anything in this dark world. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Another great lesson. Another great lesson, Associate Pastor Jonathan. A great lesson.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you, Lord.
Submit and do things God's way. Your moral. You know, I remember when I used to work in the plant, and you know, a lot of cursing going on in there, you know.
I wasn't used to
cursing. There was no cursing going on in my family, you know. Our parents used to make up words that, you know, that they would use for curse words, like dadgummit, you know.
Right.
And so it just hurted my ears to hear curse words, you know, when I was in the plant. And then I went and complained one day about it. And they was like, well, what do you expect? You're in the plant. I'm like, okay, wow, you know. So eventually that came back to bite them because, you know, with all this workplace harassment and stuff going on, you know, it had to be brought to the forefront, and that was addressed afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So God didn't want all that going on, even though it probably still do, but they got a handle on it when I was there.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. That was a good thing. And then you said we belong to the Lord, and being obedient to his word adds to our inheritance. That is cool. That's a good feeling. And like you said, you teach your sons like you're supposed to, you know, so that they can inherit, you know, what you're inheriting. And then, you know, that gives you peace. For them, you know, peace in your heart, because you know that they're going to walk in the way that they're supposed to walk because you're showing them. You're giving them what they need to make it for later. And then you don't even have to worry about them because you know God got them. You don't have to worry about your kids when you give them what they need to make it. And that is and that is a great feeling to know that you could sleep at night, you could go and go about your business and lead this world one day and know that your kids are good, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That is very, very important. You know, I like an inheritance.
Yeah, right. Don't we all?
Yeah. And then inspire others with your smile and just being happy and being positive and just, you know, giving somebody a good hello, a good face every day, just, you know, because you never know who's going through what, you know, even though we go through, you know, we just can't take it and just throw it on people. We got to, you know, show a good face all the time because, you know that it's going to get better. God, you know, he brings us through everything. Yeah. So, and then you said, let Christ shine on through us, you know, through us and with the Lord's instructions on what he wants us to do. So we got to do God's work through him, through us. Through us, we're doing God's work. And that's a good thing. He'll give us something good to do.
Yes, indeed.
So that was just a great lesson. It's just real talk, you know, breaking it down, real talk. And, you know, we got to read his word, lead others in the right direction. And if we see them in the darkness, bring them on back to the light the best we can.
That's all.
Do God's work through us. Great lesson. You broke it down for us. And yes, sir. So we can't wait to hear the rest of Ephesians. That's a serious book there.
It is.
Yeah, it's just everyday life. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jonathan. You know we appreciate you. You know,
likewise.
We appreciate you for being who you are. And enjoy your day.
Yep, you do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hey, get your coffee. I got mine. And we are going to see you on the other side of this song with our service. Amen. Every chain is broken.
help me see that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving and it's breaking.
Going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, it's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Run of Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. You know, we thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Run of Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. I will be reading for your hearings scripture from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. That is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. It is titled, The Season of Giving. Here reads the Word of God. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. And Lord, we are so grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Clyburn. Really appreciate it and appreciate you. And amen. I'm kind of excited this morning about that Sunday school lesson that Pastor Jonathan Tate brought. Amen. Telling us that, hey, we can fall in love with Jesus here. Amen. And bring heaven down to earth. We can gain some of that inheritance early right here on earth and not be like the prodigal son who got his inheritance and went off and wasted it, but to put it to good use. Those things that the Lord said that we should not do, those things that we allow Jesus to work on us to rid us of those things because they prevent us from bringing heaven to earth. Amen. When the Bible says you will not inherit, it means the joy of the Lord and the benefits of walking with Jesus in the details of life won't be yours. If the Lord said do this and you don't do that, then you don't get what the Lord said you can get. Amen. So it's awesome. And I'm excited about the way it came out because we are blessed here. And when we get there, treasure in heaven. Amen. But you know what the key to all that is? The key to pulling off what Pastor Tate taught us this morning over there in Ephesians chapter 5 is wrapped up in this song.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling.
Walk with Jesus, I was super duper crappy, and the way he started eliminating stuff in my life was he would just highlight something that wasn't quite right. I had quite a bit of that, but anyway, we would start working on that. Amen. And I noticed that the more time we spent together, the more I learned about him, the more I fell in love with him, because everything I learned about him, we were undeserving of that attribute of him, but he was still making it available to us. And we got to this place where I got ready to go sin. But I found out I love him too much to do that. And so I suffered not doing that for him. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse around 10, suffering to be like Jesus, suffering like he suffered. There was a whole lot of stuff he couldn't do, couldn't say, places he couldn't go. The words I speak, they got to be my Father's. The work I do with these hands, my Father had to be working through me. Wherever the Father's position is, there's the Son also. I have to do all those things that constantly please my Father. That was Jesus' lot, because he loved his Father. And when we fall in love with Jesus, guess what we'll do? We'll make room. We'll stop skipping Bible class regularly. That's what we do. We make it a habit of skipping Bible class. I wish the writer of Hebrews had said, forsaking the assembling of yourselves together in Bible class like some of y'all do. Amen. We need to look, church, we don't need to block Jesus out. We don't need to say, Lord, I would go to Bible class, but I got to do this. Lord, I would do some personal home study, but I had to do this. You don't let the devil trick you into blocking Jesus out. Look, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on I-75 headed for Saginaw, who knows where, but she getting that presiding work in. Amen. Pastor Jonathan Tate work every job in the world. Amen. But he make room for Jesus. Thinking it's June Rogers, amen, she will be out walking, wherever, whatever. She make room for Jesus and get that altar call in. We have to make room for him. Bring him along on the journey. Stop blocking him out. Stop telling Jesus, I don't have room for you. Tell Jesus, I will make room for you.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. So I will make room for you.
Like falling in love with Jesus, and then Jesus, you're my number one, and I will make room for you. I'm gonna move some stuff over. I am sure Pastor O wrote that song. I'm sure he wrote it. thank you Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and encouraged. I know you wrote that song, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers' Pray to the Lord. Amen.
and lay me down. Heaven, hear me now. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you. I look to you. After all my strength is gone, in you I can be strong. I look to you. Searching for that open door. And every road that I've taken led to my regret. And I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Nothing to do but lift my head. I look to you. I look to you.
You know, this morning, before we go to the throne, I just want you to think about what's going on in your life. What may be keeping you from living the kind of life that Christ wants you to live? Is it that you're bogged down with so much stuff, so many cares of this world? I want you to think about what that is when we go to the throne and ask the Lord. So I'm going to lead this prayer. But God is everywhere all at once, so he can hear what I'm saying. If our hearts are knitted together as one in this prayer and going before the throne, and he can hear whatever you're saying to him individually as well. So think about it, because we need to look to him. There is not one single thing that you are going through right now. Maybe someone told you this morning to turn into the broadcast because they know that you're heavy and weary and tired and you just need a refreshing word, which is going to happen. I can tell you that you're in for a treat, because all the ministers here on staff at Runner for Christ Ministries listen to the Lord, and so I can guarantee that it's going to be an on-time word. But just get your heart ready, and whatever it is that you said when you tuned in this morning that you wanted to leave with, let's put it on the altar as we go together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning with hearts swelled to the brim with gratitude to think that you made us knowing that we would fall and that you would need to make such a huge sacrifice to save us. It's just incomprehensible. Possibly the reason we just can't fathom this, Lord, is that we really do not understand what love is the way that you do. It seems that you just cannot help but love. You are love. For us, love is a choice. For you, it is who you are. It's your essence. And we thank you so much, Father, for being who you are. Thank you for making us in your image. We know intuitively that this means that we can do the things you've told us to do, like love you and love one another, or else you would not have told us to do so. But we don't. For sure, we're not loving the way you want us to love, because we would not have most of the problems that drive us to our knees in prayer to you if we really, really loved. There would be no hunger in the world. If we loved the way you told us to love one another, not one single human being on this planet would be starving. Of course, you're realistic in explaining to us by Jesus' comment that the poor would always be with us. That is, some of us will have more than others. But your communicating this reality to us is not an excuse that we should turn our back on the poor. On the contrary, you have told us that when we do something to the least of them, we have done it to you. Even offering as a learning moment, when we feed the hungry, we do so, such good acts on behalf of you. Yes, Lord, we need to beg your forgiveness for the many intentional acts of disobedience. For whenever we have been in a position to feed the hungry and we did not do so, especially when being prompted by your Holy Spirit, we have in fact sinned. So we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Let us start to see that these are opportunities to serve. You can ensure that anything you want to occur actually does take place in our world, if not by our hands, by that of another, or even supernaturally. You demonstrated this during biblical times by producing water from a rock, raining manna from the sky, and turning a few fish and bread to an abundant supply. So you don't really need us for your kingdom to come or for your will to be done. Oh, but how good it is when we get to do your business, when we're found doing what it is that you want us to do. Lord, we want to be living vessels of love flowing from you through us. You made each and every one of us uniquely. Science has demonstrated that not one of us has identical fingerprints, not even identical twins. You have given each of us one or more gifts to your glory and in service to the body of Christ. Romans 12:6 says that we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Lord, let each one of us participating in this prayer pledge in our hearts anew to search out what those gifts are, and then urge us to execute them like our very lives depend on it, because of course they do. How we think, where we go, how we live, where we even live, all has meaning. Many are searching for answers this morning. Let us see that the clarity and answers we seek are tied to knowing what it is we're supposed to do, who we are in you. It is as simple as when Jesus walked upon the disciples and said two simple words, follow me. That is one of the most significant things we need to repent for, Lord God. Forgive us for not following you. For when we know what your word says, for when we know what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, so many of the smaller day-to-day decisions are covered. We will know whether to go right or left, to move here or to move there, to include someone in our lives briefly for a reason or to hold on for a lifetime. Lord, help us to really recognize the big picture of our lives so that we're moving in the right direction and to not sweat the small stuff. Your example to us about reaching into our brother's eye to remove a speck when there is a log protruding from our own eye is so illustrative. You are the master teacher, explaining the word in such a way that anyone who is a believer will see the truth. And Lord, if the word is difficult to understand or to obey to the one listening today, please overtake them with this question by way of your Holy Spirit until they draw near to you. Please ask them, am I following Jesus? Oh, Lord, you know that the more we stay on the path you blaze for us to follow, the closer we will get to you. And the closer we get to you, the more conscious and deliberate we can come to be doers of your great and mighty word. Lord, help us to recognize that if we are unwilling to do what you want us to do, there really is not much point for us being around. Sure, we may be alive. We may have life in our bodies. But without you, without a relationship with you, the living God, we may be alive, but we are really not living life. And we can't be enjoying life because it's not being led the way you intended. This morning, Lord God, we put our walk on the altar. Consistent with Colossians 3, we will seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at your right hand. Lord, help us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And so we release right now all of our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said that your wish is that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. Lord, let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. Oh, the love, the love, the love. This is a time in our prayer when I review what we laid on the altar in the context of what's going on in our world. This past week in the United States, one of the court jury verdicts was handed down in a trial concerning murder. Each of these cases were connected to racism, which is hate, which we know you are against. In one case, a black man was hunted down and shot dead by three white men who basically felt he didn't belong in their neighborhood. In the other case, during a protest to stop police brutality against black people, a white young man came into town with an assault rifle. This young man's presence with the gun scared many and was viewed as provoking. When the young man was confronted, he became fearful and shot three men, killing two of them. The verdict for this last case came in, and the young man was acquitted. Many of us were not stunned by the verdict due to the history of double standards in the United States when it comes to issues of race. But we are disheartened. Our hearts are really heavy. The question of where is the justice in this is being posed all across the land. Many have had a hard time understanding how a person could leave his hometown, apparently looking for trouble, and then after he has provoked a response to be able to kill and get away with it. But you know that he has not gotten away with it. Father, I ask that you ease every heart and mind so that all know that no one gets away with anything when it comes to your justice. I'm not saying that you cannot and will not forgive the young man if he asked you to. But what I am saying is that none of us can really know the price a person pays for engaging in such behavior. Indeed, for the horrible behavior that we ourselves engage in, the things that we think are worse than what I just described. You have taught us about sowing and reaping. If people reap some of the things that have been sown, we really need to pray for them because it will not end well. And so we add Mr. Rittenhouse to our prayers this morning. We pray for peace for him, his family, his victims, his victims' families, and the communities affected by this terrible situation. Lord, our world is in a mess. We could talk all morning about such things. So I ask that you would just use us, Lord. Use us, our gifts. This morning, as you know, Minister Jonathan preached. One of the scriptures he talked about was Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them. You know, Lord, that's part of my gifting. Part of what I do is to be able to talk about victimization and crime and exposing the evil in hopes that we can fix it. Lord, we started out with this prayer and included in the prayer the importance of us understanding and knowing what our gifts are. If we would just all operate in our gifts, our world would be a better place. So I just ask once again, Lord, that you would show each of us so that we know what part we are to play in our world being a better place. Lord, we just pray that you would do whatever is necessary so that we can enjoy perfect peace. As with most of the things that are affecting our lives, it comes down to leadership. So we commit ourselves to your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations, fully aware that as your people call by your name, coming before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways is what will activate your promise of healing our lands. Lord, that's the word. You cannot lie. So if we do what we're supposed to do, we know that you will do the rest, and we thank you for that. We pray for true salvation of those in leadership of our nations. There are probably many, many nations represented of those who have come to your altar this morning, Lord, and we have different types of leaders. We have some that are known as dictators, and we have some known to be supposed democratic leaders. And all in between, some of them are calling themselves that, and that's not really who they are, but you know their heart. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands. So we pray, regardless of what title goes with that leader, we pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledge to undertake. Help us to see that it is you, Lord God, that is with us, that it is you leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember, Father, that you always, always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you, and that you are the one that protects us. Help us to also remember that our days are numbered. We are not going to be here forever unless Jesus comes back sooner. So let that knowledge urge us to be about your business. We know that we've lost some this past week, Lord. Some have died by illness. Some have died by injury. But we ask, Lord, regardless of how they left here, that you will comfort their families by way of the Holy Spirit, and that you will lay it on the hearts of those who are believers, those who call ourselves your followers, to have compassion on those who have lost loved ones, those who are grieving, those who are in trouble mentally, Lord. Show them to us and lead us to go to them and tell them about you. And even if we're not telling them about you, let us show them who you are by our acts of kindness, which will draw men to you. We place all of this at your feet, our world, families, relationships, everything that's on our hearts. Whatever is being prayed individually, we're putting it at the altar, and we're going to leave it there, and we're not going to move until you tell us to. We're going to cast all our cares on you just like you told us to. So please hear now, Lord, all of the individual requests being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. And that's today, Lord, on this day in November the 20th, or if this is a year from now, Lord, we ask that whatever prayers that are being offered up, you don't see time like we do. And I thank you for that, because I know that you will do what you said you'll do. And we just thank you for this venue. I pray, Father, that everyone that's listening is already saved. But if they're not, please, Lord, touch their hearts right now. Let them see that you are real, that you are constantly speaking to them. Let there be something that has in this service that makes them say, yes, Lord God, Jehovah is the real God, the one who Jesus came and showed was God, that that's the only way to the Father is through the Son. Let them see once and for all that you are the one true living God. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you. That's what this ministry is all about, Lord. Them accepting your wonderful salvation. Oh, Lord, we have a heart for your people. And we need to get an even bigger heart for your people, no matter what they've done. You heard me bring up the murdering man earlier. It's so easy for us to get offended by the things that we see people do. And no, it isn't right. And we have a system of justice here, and we should see that through. But don't let us get clouded by the hate that we see other people do and cause us to want to say that the doors of heaven are closed to those people because we don't like what they did. Sin is between you and the sinner, not between us and the sinner. Help us to really get that, Lord, that there's enough room in heaven for everyone and that your thoughts are not like our thoughts and your ways are not like our ways. And we don't get to take how we feel about something that's going on here and pollute your word. So, Lord, we just pray that those who are already saved, that they will keep pressing on in unity of our faith and the knowledge of your Son so that we mature and measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, you are just so wonderful. And we know that there are some that are going to tune into this broadcast in the near future or well into the distant future. So we pray for those souls now, Lord. We pray you open their physical and spiritual eyes so that they see and understand. Please give them a word for them in their time. And we know you'll do this because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and who keep your commands. We bring these petitions as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. So we join heaven this morning joyfully, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal this prayer in the name, the great name that is above every other name, the name that one day every knee will bow to and that every tongue will confess is Lord. In the great name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess June Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God. Have the
God
best
bless.
Day ever. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. All right. We have truly had an awesome service with more to come. And as we get ready for a word of God, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this selection, doing double duty and making room for God, is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Let's prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own unique way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Let me be your canvas. Let me be your vision. Let me be your brush that you use to express yourself. Use my life as a backdrop.
Father, we thank you right now for this awesome day. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to praise you, to worship you, communicate with you, and to love you, and to be loved by you. Lord, pray that your word will go forth today to the audience that you prepared to receive it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be that vessel to allow that word to flow through. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word that the Lord provided is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. It's a passage of scripture, actually, that I learned a while ago as a kid. And at my former church at Rivers Bible Assembly, I learned we use this passage of scripture as actually a rap that the choir director at the time used to teach us that word, and I never forgot it. I'm not going to do the rap. I'm going to read the word and present it based upon what the Lord has provided. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1, reading, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. God didn't just give us these bodies to wear fine clothes or to put jewelry on or smell good or get our hair done, you know, for those of us who still have that luxury of hair. I'm bald, but bald is beautiful, and I enjoy the free haircuts. Anyway, he's telling us, in view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. The Lord grants us mercy daily. We don't deserve what we get from the Lord. We get from the Lord what we get because of what Jesus did on the cross and because God loves us unconditionally. So let's be clear that because of God's mercy, we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. You know, back in, you know, biblical days, to offer a sacrifice usually was an animal by bloodshed, and they killed the animal and they cut them into pieces, and they offered that animal on the altar as a sacrifice. So because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, he became our sacrifice so that we wouldn't go to hell. But if you notice, we have to sacrifice. We have to offer ourselves as a sacrifice before the Lord. And living sacrifices, because we are living and we're moving and grooving, our energy and our resources should be at the Lord's disposal as he guides us. That's how we offer our sacrifice. We pour everything. We totally invest ourselves into the Lord. And the beauty of it is we reap the benefits. You know, what we read in the Word literally helps us, and it's for us to help ourselves and each other. And we get the hookup. God doesn't need anything from us, but the least that we can do is offer ourselves, present ourselves, and offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And it says this is holy and pleasing to God. And it makes sense, because if we're his children, he wants us to be wrapped up in him and to be sold out for him. You know, you can get online and you can watch TV, and there'll be people telling you to invest in this or to invest in that. And one thing that I've realized is that my total investment needs to be wrapped up in the Lord first and foremost. He will guide you on what you need to invest in terms of stocks, bonds, cryptocurrency, or whatever the case may be, gold, silver. The Lord will advise you and instruct you on doing that. But before you make those things more important than the Lord, he has to be first. So our total investment of our bodies, our minds, our spirits, everything we are, needs to be offered as a sacrifice to the Lord and invested totally in him as his children. And it only makes sense. He sustains us. He keeps us. Without him, we can do nothing. Let's own that. And once we own that and realize that, then we understand verse 1 better. And this is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When you, it's not just, you know, following the praise team in church on Sunday morning as far as your spiritual act of worship. It's about what you do 24/7, because we're not in church together 24/7. It's what you do behind closed doors and out in the public as far as offering your body as a living sacrifice, totally investing in the Lord and what he says about a thing. And before I go any further, I want to ask for prayer for the Thornton family. There was a young man who actually I follow. I like his music and like the style, and some of the things that he was doing in his community was he was murdered in Memphis, Adolph Thornton Jr. And so I asked for prayer for his family, you know, and his friends. He was, you know, just senseless. But, again, these are reasons why we have to stay in the Word. And, you know, some of the things that June mentioned about, you know, the court cases with, you know, in Georgia and Wisconsin, you know, these are reasons why we have to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. As I mentioned earlier about Ephesians 5, these are reasons why we need to be children of the light. This is a dark world. This world needs guidance. This world needs positive leaders and role models and examples. And who better than God's children, his sons and daughters, who are placed strategically around the world? Who better than us to lead the charge to expand God's kingdom and to shed light in this dark world. So this is our reasonable, our spiritual act of worship. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We can't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This world, you know, and I say it all the time, in the world stamp viewpoint, was right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. It's all twisted up. It's all confused. Let's be clear. What the word says about anything, that's what's true. That's what's real. That's what's right. That's what's wrong. It has to measure up against God's word, period. It only makes sense if God created the world and he created its inhabitants, which is us, then he has the ultimate say-so over what's right and what's wrong, what's real and what's fake. So we can't conform to the pattern of this world because, one, the pattern of this world changes so much. You know, one day is this, and then the next day is that, and it's just so confusing, and the Lord is not involved in that. He said what he said in his word, period. If we're his children, we should know and understand and read this love letter that he gave us, that our Father produced for us. Our basic instructions before we leave earth are found in the word, God's word, period. But we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is something we have to do daily. We have to read God's word. We have to ask for his guidance and for his instruction constantly so that we don't align ourselves with what's going on in the world, but we align ourselves with what's going on in God's word so that we could be about changing the world and shedding that light in the world, children. And it says, after we stop being conformed to the pattern of this world and we transform by the renewing of our mind, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Once you stop worrying about what's going on in the world and you start renewing your mind daily throughout the day, then you will understand what God's will is. And you'll be able to test it because, again, if you wrapped up, if you caught up in his love and his instruction, the wisdom and knowledge that he's giving you on a daily basis, then you'll understand this is God's will. It's not what this politician says or what this judge says or what this jury says or what this person says or that person says or what the internet says or what social media says. It's about what God's will is. This is what the word said about a thing. And this is what I'm going to roll with is what God says about a thing, period. So we need to make this a daily practice for us, not conforming to what the world says. You will never, the world will never be satisfied. God's word is what it is. You receive your satisfaction, your completeness and your full function and your instruction from God's word. And it only makes sense because he runs the show regardless of what any of us think about anything, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what Satan says. He runs the show. Amen? Amen. Verse 3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. you know, if you find what you will find what you need in the Lord. If you think of yourself more highly than you ought to, then you don't need the Lord. It's all about you. You don't need anyone around you. It's all about you. But the Lord gives awesome balance, is perfect balance, because sometimes we think too little of ourselves because we forget that we're children of the Most High God. And then sometimes we get too big for our britches, you know, where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. The Lord provides that perfect balance, period. You know, I'm highly educated and good money, and I'm thankful for the awesome benefits and the wonderful people that the Lord has placed around me. I'm good with that. But one thing that I try to do on a regular basis is I try to embrace humility, and I try to deflect the attention to the Lord. You know, well, John, you did such a good job. You did this. No, thank the Lord. Because John wanted to stay in bed. John wanted to do the opposite. John wanted, it's all about what the Lord says about a thing and what he does. It's not about what I do or what you do. If we just wrap ourselves up in the Lord again, he will instruct you. He will give you the balance you need. He will keep you in check. Amen? Amen. And the second part of that verse says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. You know, God has given each one of us a measure of faith. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what we're capable of. He knows how far we'll go. He knows our limits throughout each one of us and our total being. And I'm thankful that, again, he's running the show. He gives the measure of faith. He knows that, hey, John, you're thinking too highly of yourself. You need to bring it down a few notches. And there have been times where the Lord has instructed me on that, you know. And then there have been times when he said, hey, John, it's okay to take the credit for it because I blessed you with the opportunity, you know. And there have been times where, you know, I felt like, you know, my faith was low. There have been times where I felt like my faith was high. He keeps me in perfect balance. You know, he adjusts me as he sees fit, as I need. So it's not us that makes or breaks anything. It's the Lord, you know. So, again, we have to offer ourselves as living sacrifices so that we're submitting to him and totally investing and being wrapped up in him first and foremost. And we have to not stay away from conforming to the world, but conforming to what the Lord says about a thing, his word, his will, his way. And we do that by renewing our minds daily throughout the day so that we can test God's will and approve his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then we need not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but to think of ourselves with sober judgment. We get all of those opportunities from the Lord. We get that because it's wrapped up in him. Remember, we are sinners who are saved by grace. Amen? Amen. Verse 4 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. We need to understand something, church. We have many members. Everyone has their own function in the body of Christ. Everyone is not called to preach. Everyone is not called to be a deacon, deaconess. Everyone is not called to that. do what the Lord has called you to do. You know, there are people who are called to be prophets. There are people who are called to be encouragers, inspirers. There are people who are called to pray for folks, to lay hands. There's so many different callings. You have to be able to identify who the Lord has called you to be and what he's called you to do. You know, and you find that in the word, you find that in relationship with the Lord, walking and talking with him on a regular basis, allowing him to instruct you. He will lead you and he will guide you. So we need to understand that we don't all have the same function. You know, I've witnessed people that wanted to, you know, run into preaching. And I'm like, typically the cats that run into it are not called. Because it's been my personal experience and, you know, what I've shared with others and they've shared with me. People that were called to preach put their track shoes on and run in the opposite direction. So, you know, people are like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm called to do that. I'm like, yeah, you called to do it. You don't have to make an announcement. You don't have to tell nobody. You just have to walk into it. Amen? Amen. Verse 5 says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs all the others. That's one thing. That's the main thing that we have to understand. We belong to Christ. And though we are many, we form one body, and that's in him. So it's not about you pumping yourself up, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. No matter what your calling is or what your title is, we're all members of the body of Christ. That's what's more important than anything, being saved and being a part of Christ's family and being a part of his body, because he runs the show. He's the supreme being in this whole operation. He runs the show. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's one thing that I don't understand about, you know, racism and prejudice, is that no matter what, especially for saved folks, because you do have racist, prejudiced Christians, that's one thing that we need to understand. We belong to each other anyway because we're all in Christ. So there's no room for division when you're united, truthfully. You know, the United States are divided together. So we should just take that out of the title and just say States of America, because we're not united. We may be landlocked together in certain respects, regardless, you know, outside of, you know, Hawaii and Alaska. But the reality is that we're divided in this country. And we need to understand that if we work together, especially God's children, we're already united because we're part of the body of Christ. So we might as well just work together and learn to love each other and share with one another and care for one another as Christ did when he was here. Christ wasn't about division when he walked the earth, when he was leading his ministry. In those 33 years, all he thought about was loving on folks and bringing folks together so that we could all be a part of his body, and helping us to understand that we belong to each other, not ourselves. Amen? Amen. Verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion of his faith. That's the beauty of us. Even though we all belong to Christ and we all belong to each other in his body, he's given us different gifts. You know, we can use those gifts for the body of Christ and for the benefit of those who are outside the body of Christ, to draw them close so that they can become a part of the body of Christ too. And it says, you know, so if your gift is prophesying, use it in proportion to your faith. Remember, I mentioned that the Lord has given us a measure of faith. We were given that by the Lord. So he knows what you're capable of doing. So do it. You've already been given your measure of faith. You've already been given your gifts. You've already been blessed with your time and your talents and everything. And if you're saved, you're already in the body of Christ. So you should get busy about walking in the calling that he called you before you were born. If you in relationship with the Lord, he's already exposed it to you. It's just a matter of you accepting it and walking in it. We have everything we need wrapped up in the Lord and from the Lord. If we're saved, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, period. We belong to each other. We work together. We love on each other. We're here for each other. We're united as one. And so as children of the light, we need to get out in this world and draw those out of darkness who are there. Because if you're not saved, that's where you are. You're in darkness. Mentally, spiritually, physically, in all aspects. You're a part of this world. You've conformed to this world. You're not offering any sacrifice to the Lord because you don't belong to him. But he gave you a way to get to him and to become a part, become one in Christ, and to belong to your other brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's so simple. It's just believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave for all of your sins. Jesus walked the earth. You can look it up. You can go to the Google and find a bunch of stuff about Jesus Christ because he walked this earth. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, past, present, and future, that's the first part of it. I made that confession because I believed that when I was 10 years old. So now the first part is the belief that Jesus died and rose to pay for all your sins. The second part is inviting him into your heart and life. And all you have to do, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave for your sins, all you have to do is repeat after me in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the grave for all of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and life so that I can become one with you and belong to you as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you believed and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. You're already one in Christ's body, and you belong to your brothers and sisters in Christ, me included. And now that you're saved, you just need to get into a good Bible-based church in your local area. And if you're anywhere in the Metro Detroit area, I personally invite you to join with Runner for Christ Ministries, a good Bible-based church, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for everything you've done for us in Romans 12, verses 1 through 6. We thank you for everything that you're continuing to do for us and with us as we're one with you in Christ. But help us to continue to really take our callings seriously so that we can draw others out of darkness into the light so that we could all spend eternity with you. We say thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. What an awesome word. There was so much that was said. You know, when you mentioned the fact that this world is so dark, it really, really, truly is. It's almost really hard to find any ounce of positivity or any type of light or goodness in the world. And so, you know, we all have to remember that we're like all mini Jesuses walking around here. And it's our responsibility to shine the light of the Lord in this world, because we, having the Holy Spirit, are the only ones who can bring light to such a dark place. And, you know, you talked about, you know, the different court cases, like June had mentioned, you know, in her prayer. And, you know, it's not just those who are non-Christians who are saying what they're saying, but it's a lot of Christians that just have the opposite viewpoint of what the Word of God says. And so we really have to be mindful about the things that we take into our spirit, and we have to be mindful about the things that we read and we see, and we have to just not try to put our own personal opinions in it. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, we know that regardless of what man's law says, God's law is still above all. So it was a wonderful sermon, so many things to be said, but it was great. So thank you, Pastor John and Kate. I mean, there's so much I could say, but I'm trying to keep my words to a minimum because I don't want to start coughing, but it was an amazing word. So thank you so much for doing double duty today. And so have a wonderful day. We know that after announcement, excuse me, Pastor is going to come back on, and I'm sure he's going to bring Pastor Jonathan Kay back on for some closing words. So we're just going to do the announcements. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. As always, we want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour, Pastor Jonathan Tate, again doing double duty today, bringing us our church school this morning, and also bringing us an amazing word today. We know that he's always ready to bless us with the word from the Lord. I think he has gotten comfortable in his obedience at this point. We know he ran for a really long time, and so now with every sermon that he preaches and with every class that he teaches, you can just hear the level of comfort and the trust that he has in the Lord to just allow the Lord to use him as the Lord sees fit. And so we're all very thankful for the word that was brought today. And we thank him for his faithfulness and his consistency, but most importantly, his obedience to preach and teach the word today. And so we pray that everyone was in some way, shape, or form blessed by what you have heard up until this point this morning. Amen? Amen. So Run for Christ Ministries, yes, a church of teaching, learning, and doing, is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple of reminders. Every Monday at 6 p.m., our class, Get a Grip, is here on Blog Talk Radio each week. As you know, as you should know, up to this point, you know, we're discussing different topics on mental health and Christianity, and just trying to learn how to keep it together when things go wrong. Our amazing Dr. Deaconess June Rogers is our teacher, so just please join in here on Blog Talk Radio on Mondays at 6 p.m. Spread the word and let somebody know, excuse me, about this class. Study questions are always available on our church website, rfcm.org, and they are always available on the back table for those who are in person in Sunday service. Amen? Amen. Also, we want to remember every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series Training Day. So remember to tune in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Also, just a really quick kind of new announcement just for this week. As you know, we always have our Bible reading classes on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., but this week's class is canceled on the eve of Thanksgiving, so there is no Bible reading class this Wednesday, but it will resume on December 1st at 6 p.m. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget that every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, which is a ladies' Bible class, is happening from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is Pastor Janice Tate's class. She is the teacher. So in order to participate, you'll need to call Pastor Tate. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org under Christian Resources, rfcm, if I can talk, .org under Christian Resources, and you will find the phone number listed to be able to participate in the ladies' Bible class on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. Amen. Of course, as you all know, we are back in our in-person services. We've been back since August, praise God. So tomorrow, Sunday, November 21st, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. As you know, everyone is welcome to join us. But if you do, we are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, don't worry about it. One will be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe in our services. And so our amazing praise team will lead us in song worship. As always, they're so good, too. Oh, my God, they're so good. They can sing forever. They're so good. And our very own Pastor O will bring us the preached word, Galatians Part 3. I feel like I heard him say over the last couple weeks that he is going through, the epistles. So Galatians Part 3 is happening tomorrow. And so we're so thankful to God for allowing us, you know, to still not only to have returned to in-person services, but to still be able, you know, to come in to see one another. If you're not able to attend or you're still not comfortable with being in person, that's absolutely no problem. We understand that, but please feel free to listen to the service on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org. At 1 p.m., you will be able to hear our Sunday service. Amen? Amen. Also, as a reminder, every Sunday at 4 o'clock, our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, our amazing presiding person, is on her own Blog Talk Radio show, Back to the Family. You can find her call-in number, again, on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. There's a phone number there. There is a link there. Also, make sure to visit the website for Bring Back the Family at B as in boy, B as in boy, T as in Tom, S as in Frank, U, S as in Sam.com. So BBTFUS.com. Amen? Amen. Also, as a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, but most of all, they're free. Again, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and you'll have access to all of our classes from the beginning. They're for you. They're free. You can download them, and definitely make sure to share them with others. Amen? Amen. If you want to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings to any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. You'll find all the info there. Excuse me. Also, we just want to say that Running for Christ Ministries has made our other installment, or yet another installment, I should say, to the outreach ministries that we support. So, again, go to our church website. They're all listed there for you. So we've made our other installment to the ministries that we support so that not only can they have a happy Thanksgiving, but that they can be a blessing to those you know, who use and rely on their services. And so we continue to say thank you to those who so kindly, graciously, but most of all, cheerfully continue to give to Run for Christ Ministries. Amen? Amen. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought the word today, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. Under tithes and offerings, you'll be able to give your love offering right. Notate who it's for, and it will be passed on to the preacher accordingly. Amen? Amen. So John 14, verses 22 through 27 reads, "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John chapter 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we know that we must seek the Lord in all that we do and keep him first in every area of our lives. And he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for each and every one of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18 says to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in, those who are hospitalized, incarcerated. Make sure you pray for one another personally. Of course, make sure to pray for yourself. Please continue to pray for our children and this generation because, ooh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Make sure to continue to pray for our nation, our world, our leaders. Excuse me. They're constantly facing decisions that affect all of us. And, you know, like Jonathan said, we should just be the states of America because we're not united. So we need to pray that we become united, become one, not just as the United States of America, but become one in the body of Christ. There's too much division, and we're all the same, and we all need each other, and we all need to function as one. Amen. Also, continue to keep those who are being trafficked and you know, sexually abused in your prayers, as well as all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Again, the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible, so just continue to lift everything up to the Lord. Amen. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please continue to pray for Tyrone Hamilton. Also continue to pray for Pastor John Mack, Elder Joe Stevens. And I will personally like to thank everybody who has been praying for me and has been checking on me and, you know, wanting to bring me things and do things for me. And so I just really appreciate it. I'm not 100% yet, but I'm getting there. So I did just want to tell everybody thank you for the texts and the calls and all that stuff because I really, really appreciate it. Amen. Amen. So we must remember to pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, those who the devil has basically convinced that God is not who he is, which is funny because even he knows who God is. And we just need to continue to pray for those who really don't know if Jesus Christ is the way to go. You know, there's a lot of confused people out there. They see things. They allow people to make decisions and determinations for them, and they let the world dictate what they do and who they believe in and what they believe in. And so it's nothing but a trick from the enemy, deception, okay? John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we know that eternal life hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there's no receipt of the Holy Spirit, your guider, your guide, your counselor, your friend, your, you know, the person who is with you always. There's just no receipt of the Holy Spirit without Jesus having gone to the cross on our behalf. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're basically walking this world in the dark. Like, your eyes are open, but you're in the dark because you have no guide. Okay, so Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, excuse me, which we know today is your immediate household, your family, the people under your roof, Judea, your community, the places and people that you frequent and stores and this and any other in your community, Samaria, which is outside of your community and, you know, kind of even outside of your comfort zone for people in places where you normally don't go or associate with, and to the ends of the earth. And these are people and places you're like, never, nope, not going over there. Well, you know, we have to remember that the word of God needs to go around the world. And so you have a responsibility as being a part of the body of Christ to spread the gospel. And so it's our responsibility, again, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, we know that it's not for people, but we know that unfortunately some will end up there. And like Pastor Jonathan Tate always says, eternity is a really, really, really long time. Who wants to be in eternal torment? You know, this life is short. We know that God is not bound by time, but we are. And so Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says to teach us, excuse me, to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, and not secular wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but wisdom of the Lord and his word. Amen. So John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. And so we know that I is Jesus. Amen. So there is a place for us, and it is with the Lord. Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. This is one of my favorite ones. Revelation 21, 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Excuse me. All of these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad and you're heartbroken over the loss of friends and loved ones, or just even with the loss that we see here and read about that we are inundated with on a daily basis, 24/7, all over the world, use these scriptures just as a foundation, but as well as many others to just give you strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. And so with that, we please ask that you continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers, and we continuously pray for God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16 says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So, yeah, it's a new month for me because I haven't been on all month to do announcements, but it is the month of November. And so we want to say happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who have celebrated this past week, who have celebrated this past month, since I'm just now catching up. But as always, we send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministries family. So we know that London celebrated her birthday on the 3rd. Tamika Smith celebrated on the 6th. Tariq celebrated on the 12th. Like Pastor O said, the father of our church, Tyrone Hamilton, bless his heart, celebrated on the 17th. And Destiny will be celebrating on the 21st. So happy, happy birthday to everyone. Amen? Amen. So we don't know everything, and our prophecies are not complete. Now, all we can see of God is like a cloudy picture in a mirror. Later, we will see him face to face. We don't know everything, but then we will, just as God completely understands us. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9, and then it jumps over to verse 12. So your devotional for today, God, why is this happening to me? And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. In his pain and despair, Job asked a lot of legitimate questions. Why let people go on living in misery? Why give light to those in grief? And that's Job chapter 3, verse 20. Now, we just went through Job not that long ago in Bible reading class, and Lord have mercy. So Job had gone through some things. But, you know, this why question is human nature, and we all ask it. We have this misconception that if we understand the reason behind our pain, then it will make the pain easier. But here's the truth. You don't need an explanation. You need strength. You don't need an explanation. You need a savior. You don't need an explanation. You need comfort and support. But we always want an explanation. We ask questions. Why did that person walk out of my life? Why did he make a promise to me and then break it? Why did he or she hurt me? Why did I lose my job? Why did he or she die? Why did I get sick? The list is endless. Now, this is something that we always ask. We're constantly asking. It's not, you know, you can ask God questions, but you can't question God. And so, friends, I've been studying the why question for years, and here's my educated answer from Pastor Rick Warren. This is still his devotional. I don't know. and I'm never going to know because I'm not God. And guess what? Neither are you. We just never, we're never just going to understand some things until we get to heaven. Then it's all going to become clear. Only God knows the answer to your why. And if you don't get his answer right off the bat, you might as well stop asking because you're simply prolonging the pain. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2 says, it is God's privilege to conceal things. God is a God of revelation. He reveals himself through nature, circumstances, and scripture. The only reason you know anything about God is because he has chosen to reveal himself. But the Bible says God doesn't only reveal, he also conceals. And sometimes God intentionally hides his face from you. Why? So you'll learn to trust him and to live by faith rather than by your feelings. God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. God doesn't have to check in with you before he does something. God doesn't have to get your permission before he allows things to happen in life. God is God, and you're not always going to understand why some things happen. Again, the Bible says we don't know everything, and our prophecies are not complete. Now, all we can see of God is like a cloudy picture in a mirror. Later, we will see him face to face. We don't know everything, but then we will, just as God completely understands us. And again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, as well as verse 12. One day, everything will be made clear, and it will make sense. You'll be able to say, so that's why God allowed that in my life. Until then, God wants you to simply trust him. Amen. And so last but not least, we wish a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world, as well as to our Run for Christ Ministries family. Make sure to mask up. Make sure to social distance and enjoy, but most of all, make sure to be safe. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Now, that's how you do announcements. Well, Jesus, did you really have to say that with my mic on? You couldn't wait till, like, when my mic was off, you ain't say that. Not a mic.
That's okay. Please don't make me smile.
Break. I know. See, I baby Holy Ghost came in there and explicitly said, do not make Crystal laugh. She going to call.
No. Yes.
1 John 1:9.
Oh,
Crystal, God, it's so good to hear your voice. You know, I was like, Jesus, I hope she keeps talking till like 1 o'clock. He like, so you don't even care. She's sick and going through it. You don't even care. You don't even care. Just you just so you can hear her voice. You don't even care.
Oh, Lord.
Like,
I know. It's okay.
Though.
I'm just happy to make through announcements. I'm just happy I made it through without coughing. That's why I was talking real slow. I'm sorry. I kept looking at the clock.
You know what?
I still got a little bit of time.
When I saw your name this morning, I jumped up on the stage and did my holy dance.
Did you on the stage? The stage.
Thank you, Crystal.
Jesus,
thank
welcome.
You, Crystal. I appreciate
you're
you,
welcome.
And I know everybody
you're
is like,
so
oh,
welcome.
It's Crystal. It's Crystal. I'm going to listen to the announcements today and ain't Pastor. Oh.
It's okay. I appreciate you stepping in and doing something
hey.
That ain't your job. I know you like to stay in your lane, so thank you.
Hey, you know, thank you for moving everything to the side. You know what I'm saying? And being a trooper and getting this thing done. That's some good stuff.
Amen.
Right there.
Because y'all know, this is my job. I take this job with my announcements real serious. So if I wasn't able to say nothing the first 2 weeks, I ain't had no voice. So I told Pimpa, look, I can do this. She was like, I'm ready. And then she called me this morning like, if you can't, I'm like, nope, I'm ready. I got it. I got my voice back. I still can't hear it, but that's okay. You know, baby steps. Baby steps.
Baby steps, you'll be back in order. Because I, you know, you, the reason you're here today is because I threatened Jesus I was going to sing. I was like, if Crystal not here Saturday, I'm singing.
God,
well, you
I
see what he
like
did,
here.
Right?
Here, yeah.
He,
right.
He talked, man, you want to hear what, you know what he said? He said, I'm
ooh,
a merciful
God.
Savior. I wouldn't let people have to hear you sing.
Please, God,
I'm
gonna
sing
no,
anyway.
No, we can't do that.
No. Okay,
oh,
I do.
Jesus.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Crystal. Don't laugh though, because it'll
welcome.
Make you cough.
I know, God. You don't follow directions for nothing.
Nothing. That's why I'm saying, nothing. Crystal. That's what I'm saying. She's like, that boy got to be saved.
You.
He too. He tore up from the floor up. He can't be right.
Don't listen to nobody but Jesus. You don't listen to nobody but Jesus. Good Lord.
I'm telling you.
Lord, have mercy.
Be blessed, Crystal. Get some rest.
You too. Thank you.
And please take
Lord.
Care of yourself. And tell Mir we said hello, and we're going to keep on praying real hard for Mom. I haven't been able to see her because Jesus know I'll go in there and fall, go straight crazy, and he know I ain't
going
to act right. She'll be in there picking me up off the floor.
That would be a blessing.
I'm okay. You ain't got to be all on the floor like that, crying.
I'd give anything to see that. I'd give anything to see that because, she's definitely going downhill. So a lot of things are changing. So just, make sure to keep her in prayer.
Just keep her in prayer all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Had a
Thank
chance
you.
To go out to Inkster yesterday and drop stuff off for Brother. Amen, Father Tyrone. I bet he never told you he called Father.
I mean, right?
Not in this respect. But he is the oldest male in the church, man in the church. So, and he is an example to the rest of us men how to be a good husband to your wife and a good father to your children.
That title is appropriate.
So, amen.
It's appropriate.
He lives it. I know him. He lives it. He has always lived it. Amen.
Yeah, I miss him. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. Amen.
Get some rest, Crystal.
Yes, sir, I shall. Thank you.
Be blessed now and blessed it. That means in the past and in the future. Blessed her in the future.
Okay,
this is just getting real worse. Okay, so
I
just made up a whole new blessed her. I'm going to have to figure it out. I need time. I need a pill. I need some Tylenol. I done gave myself a stress that quick trying to figure out blessed her. Okay, I get the time sign. Baby Holy Ghost and time sign. He gave me the hard time sign like Sharon be doing right in the face.
Yes, in the face.
Be blessed, Crystal.
Okay, you too.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. One thank God for amen. My right-hand lady, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, gets everybody together, Deaconess June Rogers, and of course, Deaconess Kathy doing double duty, presiding and reading the scripture and prayer, and that's some awesome stuff right there. Of course, Pastor Jonathan Tate, who taught us from the book of Ephesians, amen, and came back and preached us a word from Romans. Be transformed, amen. No sense in becoming a Christian and staying crazy, amen. You should be a whole lot less crazier than you were when Jesus found you. Even if you got saved yesterday or this morning, amen, you should already be moving up the King's Highway. I don't even know what that means. I heard old folks say it, though. It's got to be good because old folks said it. I want to let you know my new book, I'm praying that it'll be out just before Christmas. All the work has been done, copyright work, 5 chapters pounded out in 18 days, but it was over 3 years getting the research to create a book. You can read an hour. But anyway, the book is done. It's gone off to the formatters and determining how much I messed up the things that they got to fix up. Amen. I'm praying it'll be back and ready to be published and sold. By Christmas, you know, that's my prayer. If not early in the new year, okay. And my winter reading this year. Every year I tell you what my winter reading is. You probably don't remember. That's good though. Amen. This year the Lord has assigned to me to read my books, both of them. Jesus Christ from His birth to His ascension, and then the church that Jesus built. Amen. He wants me to read my work. Y'all pray for me. I'm real critical on me. But anyway, y'all pray for me, and that's my reading assignment for the winter. And, of course, you know, tomorrow we'll be continuing our installment on the book of Galatians. We're going to be dealing with chapter 3. Amen. Sticking with my Jesus. Amen. So come out tomorrow at Run for Christ Ministries, and you'll get to hear all about that. Amen. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory
with exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. The church said that. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. See you.
Have your way. You can have your way in me, yeah. Can I be transparent for a minute? Some of those rumors that you heard, I probably did it. I'm not a perfect man, I admit it. But it's covered by the blood I've been forgiven. When I think of things I've done, I shake my head. Been down on my